We're going to learn Daf Samach Aleph in Masechtas Ksubas. We are going to start from the seventh line from the top. The top of the Gemara was talking about different things that a person should do in their marriage, and if they first the Gemara started talking about certain foods that are better or worse for a woman who's nursing, and then the Gemara started talking about Tashmish in different places, which has an impact on the children. That was the Gemara on the top of the Amud. Now the Gemara starts with, okay, this is interesting. So we're going to start with where we have the Girsa in our Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Baduklon Rav Huna. So interestingly, all the Mefarshim bring on the side that the Rosh changes the Girsa. Instead of saying Amar Rav Huna, it should say Amar Rav Papa, Baduklon Rav Huna Bar Chinana. So you can understand why the Rosh changes the Girsa, because it doesn't make sense that Rav Huna was saying that he Baduklon Rav Huna Bar Chinana. But in any event, that's the Girsa change that you should be aware of right here off the bat in the Gemara. So what did he say? He checked with us to see what is the halacha about if there's a difference of opinion between the husband and a wife about whether or not she should nurse the child. So the Gemara starts like this. He aymeres lahanik. She says, I want a nurse. Who aymer shaloi lahanik. And he says, no, I don't want you to nurse. So what do you do? Shaymin la. We listen to her. She gets to decide whether or not she's nursing. Why? Very simple. The Gemara says, Sara di dehu. It would be her pain. So, it's actually Machoikas Rishonim over here, what the tzar is. According to Rashi, the tzar is, as we know, normally the natural thing is for a mother when she's nursing that her breasts fill with milk, and not nursing could be painful because there's the pressure. So Rashi, that's how Rashi learns, very simply. So it's her physical pain that if she doesn't nurse, it's gonna hurt her. So she gets to say, yes, I want a nurse. And the other Mefarshim learn that it's an emotional pain, exactly. That if she wants to nurse and she doesn't get to nurse her own child, so that's something that she's gonna feel bad about. So that's where she wants to nurse. What about the other way around? Hu aymer lahanik, where he's the one who's pushing her to nurse, the aymeres shaloi lahanik, and she says, I don't want to nurse. Now obviously there have to be alternative options over here. We're not gonna let the baby die. But she's saying, I don't want to personally nurse. So mahu, what's the halacha over there? So the Gemara says, well, let's look at the big picture over here. Kol heichad olav orcha shaminan lo. No, shaminan lo. If it's not the norm, so in other words, if her family growing up, nobody in her family nurses, that's what she grew up, that was her family, either it's because she's wealthy or for whatever reason, their family doesn't nurse, then she definitely gets to make that decision. However, or he orcha, v'hu lav orche. What about if she comes from a family where the family typically does nurse, and he happens to be from a family where, again, for whatever reason, the wives do not nurse. So this is a classic question. This is a classic question of, we've had similar type of issues between the husband and the wife. My boser didei ozlinon. Do we follow the husband's minhagim, and in general we follow his minhagim? Or do we follow her minhagim because it really applies to her specifically, and in her family, they nurse, so therefore she should have to nurse. So the Gemara answers, let's answer the question based on this. Because we learned, and we've learned this rule as a general rule before, as a general rule, she always goes up in society. She never goes down in society. So she comes from a family where they're used to doing a certain thing, and doing something less would be considered lowering her standards. So she does not have to lower her standards. A husband, when he marries into an upper class family, he has to expect to do that upper class thing. So therefore, over here also, if her family. But if he happens to be on the higher level, so then she has the right to demand that she be treated on that higher level, even if it's not something she necessarily grew up with. So here, not nursing is considered an upper level. That's considered going up in society. I don't have to nurse. I don't have to be tied down. It's not good for her figure. There are reasons why you don't nurse. So therefore, basically the Gemara is saying that if his family doesn't nurse, and that's considered normal in his society, so then Anachanami, she goes up with him. Amar Avuna Maikra. Where do we see this in the pasuk? Where do we see this concept? Because the pasuk says, "Vehi beulas baal," that she is somebody who was with her husband, and we darshan. Obviously, this is a drasha, but we say baali asoy shel baal veloy biyirid asoy shel baal. She goes up with him. So again, that's not what the word beulas baal means literally, but we translate, we darshan that it's aliyah referring to going upward. So it's going upwards with the husband. So she always goes up a level. She never goes down a level. Rabbi Lozer brings a different drasha. It says in the pasuk, "Ki hi hoisa aim kol chai," that she was the mother of all living things. So we darshan lachaim nitna v'loy letzar nitna, that she is there in this relationship for chayim, for again also for better things, v'loy letzar nitna, and not for things that will make her more downtrodden, now more depressed, more down. So up, she always goes up in society. She doesn't go down in society. So I saw there are a few nafkaminas between which pasuk you darshan over here, because they both conclude with the same idea that she gets to pick the good, and she doesn't have to go down in the bad. She continues whatever she's used to. She continues whatever he can bring her up. She gets, but never it's never a downward motion. So for example, I'll just give you one example. There are a few nafkaminas, but one nafkamina would be based on these psukim. If, let's say, they have chuppah, v'loy nivolo. So they got married, they stood under the chuppah, but they never have actually, for whatever reason, something happened, and they got separated. They never actually lived physically together. So that would be a nafkamina between the psukim. Because if it's based on the pasuk bu'ulas baal, she's not a bu'ulas baal. She never actually lives with her husband. But if it's because being part of his society brings her up in the world, so then she was standing under the chuppah. She is his wife, and she can call herself Mrs. X. So since she can call herself Mrs., so then she gets the milus of l'chayim. Okay, anyway, that's just, there are some other nafkaminas, but that's the basic, but the gist is the same, that she goes up in society and not down. So as you recall, in the Mishnah went through, there are certain jobs that a wife is supposed to do in the house, and depending on how many different maidservants she brings in to help her, she gets to eliminate and she gets to pass on that job to the servant. So the first one is Ichnisa la Shifcha, if she brings one Shifcha into the house. So the Gemara says, so in that case, right, if there's one Shifcha, so the halacha was that she doesn't have to bake and grind stuff anymore. Okay. So the Gemara says, Hashara Avda. But the rest of the things, the rest of the jobs that she was supposed to do, she still has to do. So why? The Temele Ayalti Loch Itzasa Becharikoi. Let the wife say, what are you talking about? I brought
you seven. Let her do seven.
Right, exactly. If I was able to do all these things, apparently one person is able to control all these things. So now I have this other person who's in my place. But Harikai Rashi translates Bimakoimi, in my place. So let this other person take over all the jobs that I was doing. If I was able to do it, she was able to do it. So the Gemara says, very interesting, Mishom to Omar La Ha Tarcha Ledidi Uledida. Because you're right. When it's one person, that one person can take care of my needs and her needs. Who's going to take care of your needs? There are now more people in the house. There's more things that need to be done. So if there are more things that need to be done, there is the division of work has to be among the people. So it's no longer, if it's just two people, husband and wife, and anachanami, one person can cover it. Once there are more people in the house, you need additional work. Additional work has to be done. You need more people to cover. The Gemara then continues, but if she has two helpers, then she gets to reduce even more jobs, and that other person takes over some of the other jobs. So the Gemara makes a deal. So again, but there are still certain things that the wife has to continue to do. But now we have a problem based on the logic that the Gemara just presented before. V'temole, why doesn't the wife get to say, Ayalis loch itzasa achriti? So now I brought you in another woman that is the tarcha ledidi ulidida, that's now able to take care of me and her. Right, again, as you said before, each person can service two people, themselves and one other person. And now I have, so one maid is going to take me care of me and her, and the second maid is going to take care of her and you. So everybody's taken care of. So why do I still have to do jobs? So the Gemara answers, Mishum to Amar Law, because the husband can say, Kami Urchi Uparchi Mantarch. Who's going to take care of our guests? Urchi are guests that stay for an extended period of time. Parchi are the guests that stay overnight. They're in and out. So there's going to be extra people. Now, I'll just point out to you. So Enachanami. So I need more. So there again, the Gemara says, because it's going to expand how many people are in the household. So it's not just us four anymore. Even though I brought in two maidservants, it's not just us four. Now there are going to be other people in the house as well. So the Mefarshim say that pshat is, once you have a bigger household, then there are more people that are going to come in and out. So when it's just you and your wife by yourself, the expectation is you're not going to have any guests. The moment you open up your house and you now have other people living in your house and you have more people in the house, there is also this expectation that there are going to be more people as well. That's that, because it's a very simple question you could ask. Who says I'm going to have guests? So that's why the Mefarshim say, once you open up your house to have people living in the house, then the expectation is more people are going to be in and out. Then the Gemara says, Shloisha ena matzas la'amito. So when you have three maidservants, now all of a sudden she doesn't have to make the bed, she doesn't have to do the housework anymore. But the Gemara says, Ashara avdo. So, but again, there's still work that needs, the other things that the wife still has to do. She can't do nothing. So now, also using that logic, let her say, Ayalis loch achriti. So I took care of another woman, lo'archi uparchi. So she's gonna take care of herself and she'll take care of these in and out guests. So why isn't that enough? You're running out of excuses over here. Why isn't that enough to cover all the work? The Gemara answers, Mishum da Omer Law, Nafish B'nei Beisa, Nafish Archi Uparchi. And Echanami, as the house grows, then we're going to have more guests. So one person is not going to be able to handle all the guests anymore, so we're going to need more help. Okay, so the Gemara says, Ihochi Afilu Arba Nami. So then, why is four the cutoff? Why is four now all of a sudden, now they could cover the job? So the Gemara answers, Arba, once you reach four, Kivin the Fishulahu Messiahina Adodi. Once you have so many maids that are around that are able to help, they're able to help each other. So now, you're right. One person is, it's gonna get overwhelmed. But if you're sharing the work, and this goes in general. As we know, in general, whenever you have somebody to help you do the work, you're able to cover even more work. It expands exponentially. It doesn't expand just proportionately. So okay, so that's where the Gemara draws the line. Once you have four people that are able to help, now everybody's able to take care of. You're able to cover all the basic household needs. However, this is an important Gemara. Amar Rav Chana v'itamer Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni lo yechnisa loy mamish. So first of all, when we say that she has maids, we're not talking about that the maids are actually there doing the work. Alakivin shiru'uya lahachnis. Once she's able and she has enough money to cover these things, then it doesn't matter whether you actually went out and hired somebody and you have somebody filling the slot. At that point, the wife has the right to say, I am not doing this. Go ahead and get somebody. You chose not to get somebody. That's not my problem. Okay? That's what it means. So it doesn't mean that there is somebody physically doing the work. She has the right to step back and say, I am not doing it. If you wanted to get done, you could go ahead and find somebody to do it. Aval bishalo yechnisa. So even though she doesn't actually have somebody there, Tana, and we learned the Braisa like that also. Echot sheechnisaloi, ve'echot shetzintzalo mishaloi. Whether she, we talk, this halacha applies whether she actually has somebody there physically, or tzintzalo mishaloi is like she has enough money to cover it. Which means, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, we learned a few daf ago, that a husband has an obligation to pay his wife not just the bare minimum of mezonos, but he also pays her a little bit extra. He's supposed to have a little extra for every week to do whatever she needs to do. So let's say you have this woman who skimps, and instead of spending that money, the spending money that their husband gives her, she actually collects all that money. She saves up so she has enough to be able, she scrimps, right? That she's able to hire somebody to help her. So then, and she's able to use that money to hire somebody and to alleviate the work from her. But again, the point is here, she doesn't actually have to hire the person. All she has to say is, listen, you want to get it done, I can hire somebody to do it, so I am not obligated to do it. So we learn from this little line of the Gemara, if you want to think this through, what's interesting here is, there's two levels of society here. There's a level of society where he's wealthy enough to hire somebody, and she says to him, listen, it's your problem. You want to get it done? Then find somebody who's going to do it. I'm not doing it. And then the chiddush of this last line is that not even if he's on high society, even if she has enough to hire somebody, she's able to say, I'm not doing it. I can hire somebody else to do it. I am on that level of society where I don't need to do it anymore, and you can find somebody else who can fill those slots. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says. Again, if you can afford it, then you cannot force, the wife is not obligated necessarily to perform all the various household chores. Then the Gemara says, Arba, but once you have four, as we saw before, Yoshevs Bekasta Darta, she can now sit either on her chair or in a tent, however you want to translate this word, but the point is she can take it easy, she doesn't have to get involved in the work. Now, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Chanina, Amar Rav Huna, so Rav Huna says, now by the way, over here there's some that learn the same way the Rosh changed the girsa to Rav Papa earlier, some that changed the girsa over here also. Okay, fine. But Amar Rav Huna, the name of Rav Huna, Afal Bisha Amar Yosheves Bekastara, even though we said that she can sit and take it easy, she doesn't have to get involved in the household chores, Avol, there are certain things that only the wife could do. Maizegas Loikais, she pours the wine for her husband, Umatzas Loyas Hamita, and she makes the bed. Now, all the Mefarshim, including Tosfos over here, point out that the making of the bed over here is not talking about the typical changing the sheets and all that type of stuff, the household work. This is talking about setting up the bed so that it is intimate for the husband and wife. That's the Matzas Mita that we're talking about over here. Umarchetz is Loy, part of Yadav Raglov, and she washes her hands and she washes his hands and feet. Again, in other words, because these are intimate acts, wine, of course, we know, brings to Hergol Dover. Making the bed, again, is specific for the husband and wife. So we're not talking about the chores around the house over here. We're talking about their personal relationship. So even if she has all the maids in the world, the personal relationship stuff, that's still between the husband and the wife. Okay. So, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Chanina, Amar Rav Huna, Kol Melachos Shaisha Oisa Labalo, all the various halachas that a wife would specifically do for a husband, Nida Oisa Labalo, a nida, while she's a nida, she could also, like, she can continue to cook even though she's a nida. Except, Chutz Min Bezigas HaKos, again, except for these things that we just pointed out because they're intimate. Giving him wine, Vaitzah Hamita, and making the bed in this special way, Barachotz is part of the other Baraglav, and washing his hands and feet. Okay, so when she's a nido, she can't do those things. Now, forget about the obvious that they're not supposed to be touching in general, but this specifically is considered intimate, and therefore a nido should not be doing it. So the Gemara itself asks, when it comes to fixing the bed, since it's supposed to be an act of intimacy, so that's only a problem if he's physically there and watching her do it. But if he's not there, when she puts out that extra sheet, or she does whatever, I don't know exactly what it is, but when she does that thing, if he's not there, then it's not an intimate act, and therefore it is permissible even while she's an Ido. So the Gemara says, Mezigas HaKois, so when it comes to the fact that she could pour him wine, so what are we talking about during when she's an Ido? So the Gemara says, Shmuel Michlefa La Devisu Biyada De Smolo. So Shmuel, what his wife would do is that she would serve him with her left hand as opposed to serving with her right hand. She would do it in a different way so that there was an obvious difference when she was a nida. In Abaya's marriage, Manchole Apuma de Kuba, she would actually put the cup down on the jug or the barrel, whatever it was, that she would put it down before he would pick it up so that she wasn't physically handing it to him. Rava Abay Saja. His wife would put it down next to the pillow instead of on the pillow or whatever. She would put it down even a little bit further away, not in a way different than she would normally do when she was not a nido. Rav Papa Ashar Shifa. Rav Papa would put it on the bench. So she would put it down on his chair and again the point was that she would put it next to but not in the normal place that she would, not in the normal place that she would put it if she wasn't, was not a nida. Worth pointing out that Rashi seems to say that even this, this passing of the wine, especially in the first sheet of that Shmuel's wife would simply switch hands when she would hand him the wine. It sounds like she would hand him the wine, literally. So how would that be permissible? So Rashi has a very interesting girsa, not girsa, but Rashi adds two extra words. When he says she would switch her hands, Rashi says, bimei livuna, during the white days. What does that mean? That means that, that means, as we know, that there's typical when it comes to a need of becoming tahar, so there's two steps to the process. Midah raiso, she's tameh for 7 days. And then we do what's called shivanakiyim, where they have then 7 days where we want to make sure that she's completely clean, and then she goes to the mikvah after those 7 days. So the difference between the first 7 days, when she's a Nida Daraisa, and those other Shiva Nikiyim, are what we refer to, those second set of 7 days, is called the Yimei Libuna. So the Rashi learns that there is a difference, there are those that learn from Rashi, that there is a difference between when she's the first 7 days versus the second 7 days. However, I'll point out to you that the Mefarshim do note this in Rashi, but at the end of the day, they say that Bizman HaZeh, this is not relevant. So in other words, we cannot make a chilik in the way we do things, because they say that nowadays, that was in the times of the Gemara, where they used to go to the mikvah after the 7 days d'araisa. So then, there was the 7 days d'araisa, and then there was the Shivanakim, which then they used to go to the mikvah a second time for the Shivanakim. So then, in the Hanami, there was a difference between the Yimei Nida versus the Yimei Libuna. But for us nowadays, we don't go to the mikvah until after everything is said and done. So we do whatever the 12 days later that we go to the mikvah. For us, there is no chilik. So when you're learning this Gemara and you see these harchokas, could be that the way Rashi is learning that these type of harchokas are not going to be permitted at all. Right? That's why we're much more machmer than it seems, what it seems to say in the Gemara, or at least somewhat more machmer than what it says in the Gemara. Because, again, this doesn't apply to us because she doesn't go to the mikvah until after everything is done. What? What's the third choice? Yeah. So this is where Tosfos says that making the bed doesn't mean changing the sheets. Making the bed means putting on some extra... What? Shalosh, that once she has three maids. Shalosh means three maids. That she doesn't make the bed anymore. This is talking about the difference between changing the sheets versus, you know, putting on the intimate thing. What?
He's saying there's a killer between the mission of Raisa.
Yeah, the Mishnah is saying that she doesn't have to make the bed anymore. It's talking about changing the sheets, is what your cleaning lady does. And what we're talking about, Tzasla Amita, means that you're putting down, Chbeis, I don't know what they used to do, you know, the frilly bed or something, whatever it is. Yeah, the chocolate, or whatever it is that you're putting something, you know. Okay, continuing the Gemara. And just so that you know, why is Eliyahu HaNavi the standard over here? So there are multiple pshatim. Why Eliyahu HaNavi specifically? So either because Eliyahu HaNavi, as we know, at one point in his life went 40 days without, fasted for 40 days. So he was somebody who understood what it was like to go without food. Or because as we just learned in the Haftarah 2 weeks ago, that Eliyahu HaNavi used to go to the Shunamis and he would be served food over there. So the same way Eliyahu HaNavi appreciated, so this is the opposite shot. The same way Eliyahu HaNavi appreciated the fact that she used to set up food for him to eat, so too he appreciated, Eliyahu appreciated those people who took care of their waiters so that he would talk to them. I didn't necessarily see the extent of the problem, but I saw that there was a problem over here, so therefore I was okay. It was okay for me to stick my finger in and to show them. Sorry, I skipped a little bit. Now we're in the middle of a couple lines down from the top of Samach Aleph and Beis. The fire continues. Hahu Ruma. There was this Roman guy. To Amar Lo Lahi Itzasa. So he said to this particular woman, Mintzavas Li, marry me. Amar Le Loi. No, I don't want to marry you. Also, I see Rimni. He brought a pomegranate. Pali, he started cracking it open. And he started eating from it. Now he knew that the pomegranate, when you open it, it smells good, and she was going to want some. So every time she had the saliva come up in her mouth from the taiva of eating this, Balasa, she would just swallow it back down. But he wouldn't give her any to taste from the pomegranate. Until she became clear. What that means is that her face expanded and her stomach, right? You ever see these kids who are starving, that their stomachs expand. So it became very dangerous. So now that she was in this condition where it was a little bit dangerous, Amar Lo, this Roman guy says to her, if I cure you mincivously, will you marry me? Amar Lo, if you cure me, I'll marry you. Ozel Aisi Rimni, so he brought another pomegranate, Pali, he cracked it open. Vohu Kamon, he started to eat again. Amar Lo, but this time he said to her, Komaya Detzari Loch, every time you have this saliva that's bothering you, Toif Shadoi, spit it out. Toif Shadoi, spit it out again. So she kept on doing this, she kept on spitting out the saliva, Adenafik Mino Kihutsa Yarka, until a whole glob of seaweed, of a glob of green came out of her, the Itzis, and then she got better. So we see from this Gemara that's the cure. The cure is that if you do have a taiva to eat something, and for whatever reason you're not able to eat, you should not swallow that saliva that's created from the taiva to eat, you should spit it out. Okay, the Gemara continues. Now we're going to the next part of the Mishnah, which is that even if she has all these maids that are able to serve and help her take care of the household chores, she still should be doing some sort of weaving with the tzemer. So the Gemara says, "Betzemer in bepishtin loy." We're talking about wool and not with flax. The Gemara said that this whole business of working, that she has to do some sort of work as she has to work with wool, is not with pishtin, which is flax, because flax is much rougher, as we're going to see in a second. Masnisin money. Who is the Tana of our Mishnah that says it's specifically with wool? Rabbi Yehuda. It's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Tani, we learned in a brisa. So even though a wife has certain obligations to take care of her husband, but there are certain demands that a husband cannot make. A husband cannot demand that his wife take care of his father, or to take care of his own children, let's say from another marriage. And I can't force my wife to, again, there are certain jobs where you're just not appropriate, where I can't force my wife to feed my animals. But I could insist that she take care of the bakar, the smaller cattle. So there's different explanations what the difference between behema and bakar is. One is, basically, that's the issue over there, is because she might have a taiva for those animals, so we want to keep her away. In any event, but we see Rabbi Yehuda Omer af ein koyfel lasos bepishtin. The point of the brisa is we see that Rabbi Yehuda also says I cannot force her to work with flax. Mipnei shepishtin masriach es hapeh, because flax makes her mouth not smell good. Umesharbeit es hasfasayim, and it puffs the lips. Vahani mili bekisna roimo. And this is talking specifically with flax, the Roman flax. So Roman flax had this impact on her body physically. So therefore, you cannot force her, you cannot insist that she work with something that has a negative impact on her body. Okay. So Rabbi Lozer Oimer, afilu echnisa loy meya shivchois. Rabbi Lozer says that even if she has 100 maidservants working for her, so then she still should be busy working, doing some sort of work, because otherwise it's going to be what Rabbi Lozer says specifically, because it will. Otherwise, it'll bring to znus. If she has nothing to do, so then, her mind's going to wander. So, Amarav Malchiyoy. So, this is very interesting. This is brought down in a few places in Shas. So, Rav Malchiyoy says, Amarav Adabar Hava, Halacha Rabbi Eliezer. We paskin like Rabbi Eliezer in this case, that we can't have her doing nothing. Amarav Chanino, Berei Derav Iko. Okay, so Rav Chanino says, this is Rav Malchiyoy with the vav at the end. So he said that we, by shvud Shifchois and Gumois, Rav Malchiyoi. So this is one of the three places, there's six places actually in Shas, that Rav Malchiyoi and Rav Malchiyo, their names are very similar, have a machlokes, and we paskin like either Rav Malchiyoi or Rav Malchiyo, depending on the case. So the way he breaks it down is like this. Shvut, Shifchois, and Gumois, these three cases are the cases that we paskin like Rav Malchiyoi. Shifcha is the case over here, where even if she has enough maidservants to take care of everything, she still has to be busy with something. We pass on like Rav Malchiyoi. Blurios, Efer Malko, Vigvino, Rav Malchiyoi, and the memros that happen to be about Blurio. Blurio is the ponytail in the back of the head. Efer Malko is the ashes they used to put on a wound on Shabbos. And Gvino is whether you're allowed to use certain things to turn things into cheese. So that's Rav Malchiyoi. That's Rav Malchiyoi's memro. Okay. Rav Papa Omar, okay, so that's how he brings it down, just you have to remember those names. Rav Papa Omar Masnisin Umasniso Rav Malchiyo. If it's halacha that we're discussing that's relevant to a Mishnah, so then it would be Rav Malchiyo. Shmaitza, if it's just a memro, Rav Malchiyo, those are the things that we pass in like Rav Malchiyo. Now, how do you know whether it's a Mishnah or how do you know who passes like the Mishnah? V'simonach Masnisin Malchoso. Because a Mishnah and a Braisa are, so to speak, a higher level than just a Memra. So that goes to the king. And Malchusa is actually the queen. And Malchiyo is more of a Loshana Keva. So therefore, that's how you remember that the Mishnahs are Rav Malchiyo. Anyway, so the Gemara answers, my Beinah, what's the difference whether you just this specific list or it depends on a Mishnah? So Ikka Beinah Shvacha is the Nafkamina would be whether the case, this case, our case over here by Shifcha, is because it happens to be a Mishnah. So on the other, and it's Rav Malchiyoi. So if you hold like Rav Ada Bar Hava, so then we would paskin like it because it's one of the three cases that are listed for Rav Malchiyoi. If you're relying on the fact that it's a Mishnah, so this happens to be something that would really go by Rav Malchiyoi. And not Rav Malchiyoi. So then this halacha that we paskin like Rav Elozer would not be true. So depending on how you break down this list between Rav Malchiyoi and Rav Malchiyoi will make a difference whether we paskin this way in our Mishnah. Whether we paskin this way that we paskin like Rav Elozer or not. The Gemara continues, Rav Shimon Gamliel Oimer. Rav Shimon Gamliel also says that if she has nothing to do, that makes her go crazy. So she has to do something. So the Gemara says, Hainu Tanakama. So that's the same thing as the Tanakama, that she has to be busy doing some sort of work. So the Gemara answers, Ika Beinayu Demetallo Beguraiso Kutnaiso Vinid Rashir. Where she has, right, that she has activities. They're not necessarily activities of work, but she has activities where Rashi says, for example, where she plays with the dogs and they used to have different meetings together. So if the issue is that she's going to just go crazy because she has nothing to do, so then, it's not going to be a problem. But if she has things to do, so it doesn't necessarily have to be work. As long as she has activities, then it's fine. She's not going to go crazy, so then I can't force her to do work. Now, as opposed to, by the way, Rabbi Eliezer says, it's not enough that she has something to do. It has to be a tachlis. It has to be work. It has to be producing something. It has to be. So that's basically the machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, she just has to have a schedule. She just has to be doing something. According to Rabbi Eliezer, she has to be doing something more productive. Okay, let's start the next Mishnah and learn the Gemara to the bottom of the Yamin. Start the next Mishnah. Madir es ishtoi mitash meshamita. Okay, so here we're getting into serious stuff. A husband says specifically, I am not having tashmish with you. So Beishamay says that could last up to 2 weeks. If he says I'm not having tashmish for 2 weeks, that marriage is still sustainable. More than that, it's too much. Beis Hillel said, no, you only get 1 week with that nonsense, and then after that, this marriage is not going to last. We're going to talk about this in the Gemara, so we'll leave that statement as it is in the Mishnah. HaTalmidim yoytzin l'talmid Torah. So when you have a Talmud, meaning somebody who's going to go learn in yeshiva, and he has to leave the house to go learn in yeshiva, shaloi birshus, he can even do this without her permission, because we'll see that really a husband is supposed to be spending time with his wife. So he's able to do this B'rishu shleishim yoim, up to 30 days. Again, the Gemara is going to discuss what the nuance over here is. And ha-poilim Shabbos achas, and the poilim, which are workers that are, again, also supposed to be home every night, they can say, I need to take a job that's going to take me away for a week. That's not a problem. That's not going to interfere with the marriage. However, the Mishnah does say, so what's the norm? Ha'oinah ha'amura b'tayra, what's the amount of time that a husband should spend with his wife under normal circumstances? So ha'tayolin, the guys who are around, you know, just going around for the day, b'chol yoim, they should be with their wife every day. Ha'poilim shnayim b'shabbos, the poilim who work, they're busy and they're tired and they're out and they're in, they should be with their wife twice a week. Ha'chamarim, achas b'shabbos, the chamarim are the people who are doing deliveries, so they're not really home every day. So they, at least they should be with their wife once a week. Hagmalim, the people who do camel drives, they have to go to further locations. Achas l'shloishim yoim, so they only have to be home once every 30 days. That's the expectation. Hasafonim, the sailors who are out at sea, achas l'shisha chadoshim, that's only once every 6 months, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. That's what Rabbi Eliezer says. Again, there's certain expectations, and a wife who marries into that profession, understands and has that expectation that's what they're gonna get. Okay, but let's talk about this idea. Let's go back to the first line of the Mishnah, that they decided that they're not going to be together. He decided that he's not going to be with his wife. So my time at the Beis Shammai, where did Beis Shammai get this 2 weeks from? What's this based on? He bases that on every wife, as we know, it's a pasuk in the Torah, that when a woman gives birth to a girl, so she's tamei for 2 weeks. She's tamei for 2 weeks. So Beis Shammai says, okay, so up to 2 weeks, we see the Torah says it's okay to be apart for 2 weeks. So the husband also can choose to be apart for 2 weeks. Beis Hillel gemir meyoledes zachar, and Beis Hillel says it has to do with, similar to when a woman gives birth to a male, to a boy, where there the halacha is that she's only tamei for a week. So he says that's really why you up to a week is okay. So the Gemara itself asks, I don't understand. I don't understand. If you're basing it on a Yoledes, so then you should, why 1 week versus 2 weeks? I mean, the Torah itself says up to 2 weeks is okay. So the Gemara says, you're right. If we're really basing it on the fact that it's after childbirth, she's separated from her husband, so you're right. Then 2 weeks makes more sense. El Beis Hillel Minida Gemiri Law. But Beis Hillel rather says, we're not talking about Yoledes at all. We're talking about what the Torah talks about on a regular basis. It's a nida where the Torah says they have to be separated for a week. So we see up to a week is considered normal. Okay, so now we have a machlokes between whether we learn it out of nida or we learn it out of Yoledes. So b'maika miflagi. So what's the basis of this argument? So the Gemara says very simple. Marasar midah d'shchiach mimidah d'shchiach. Let's look at what happens on a regular basis. A nida obviously happens regularly. And as the Gemara says, as the way Rashi learns, getting into a fight and saying, I'm not interested, that also happens, unfortunately, on a regular basis. So therefore, it's okay. Let's pick something that is normal. So if every once in a while this happens, then okay, up to a week is okay. That's Beis Hillel. He says, no, let's talk about over here whose fault it is. So getting pregnant and having a child and therefore being separated, it's only because the husband made it that way. So therefore, when he gets involved, then she can be apart from him for 2 weeks, and that's okay. So here also, where he is the one making the neder, so then Anachanami, he caused it, so he can go up to 2 weeks with being apart, and that's okay. Now, when we talk about that he said he's going to be apart for 2 weeks, what exactly is the situation here? So this is the next line of the Gemara. Amarav machlekes b'mefarish. This is talking about where he specifically said, I'm not going to be with you for 2 weeks. Avol bestam, but where he says, I'm not going to be with you, that could last forever. Now, it could be he'll take care of it within 2 weeks, but he just says, I'm not going to be with you an unspecific time. So divrei hakol yoytze la'alter. So then Rav says, even Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel say immediately this marriage is over. The yitin ksuba, and he's going to have to pay his ksuba. That's Rav Shita. Ushmul amar no afilu b'stam nami yamtin. Even if he says open ended that I'm not going to be with you, so let's wait it out and let's see. Let's wait the 2 weeks because shema yimtzel apesach l'nidrei, because maybe he'll find an opening to his nether and he'll undo it, and then it will turn out that it won't end up being a full 2 weeks. It won't end up being more than 2 weeks. So we can let's wait it out and see. So it's a machlekes Rav and Shmuel whether we wait it out or we say no. If I don't know an end time, so that's immediately the deal is over. So the Gemara says that's good machlekes. However, ha'polik b'achad zimna. We already see this machlekes Rav and Shmuel in the same concept. We saw this idea before. Because the time we learned in the Mishnah, hamaderis ishta milahena isloy. So here it's a little different. He didn't say specifically that we're not going to have tashmish. Here he made it as a general rule that I'm not going to have any hanah from you. Not, in other words, he's not saying that I'm not going to do some, I'm not going to give you hanah. He's saying I am not going to get hanah. Okay, so that's how Rashi alleviates the problem of chiyuv tashmish. So this has nothing to do with tashmish. So again, ad shloshim yoim yamid parnos. If he says I'm not going to do anything with you for 30 days. We just have somebody else. Parnas is somebody else who will take care of her. But if it's more than 30 days, here the rules are 30 days, not 2 weeks. So more than 30 days, that's already, this marriage is not going to last, and he has to divorce her. But Amar Rav, on that machlekes, Rav said loishanu ela b'mfarsh, where he said again explicitly that it's going to be 30 days. Al b'sam, but if he leaves it open ended, yotz to the altar, then they get divorced right away. V'yitan ksuba, that's it. This marriage is over. I can't live in a marriage where it's unknown how long we're going to be apart. Shmuel amar afilu b'sam, that even if it's 30, even if they don't say explicitly, if it's open ended, nami yamtin shema yimso pesach l'nidroi. So let's wait over here also and see. Let's see. Maybe it won't end up being a full 30 days, and we'll be able to solve the problem. Okay. So anyway, it's the same machlokes between Rav and Shmuel whether we say if it's open ended that they have to get divorced right away, or we wait it out and see whether we'll be able to resolve our issues. So Tricha, the Gemara says we do need the machlokes in both places. Now let's just finish with this explanation. Because if it only talked about in the case of Tashmish, Bahaka Amar Rav, that's where Rav says where you have to get divorced right away. Mishum Deloy Efsher Beparnis, because there is no other solution. So when I go open ended and say we're not going to ever be together again, so that's open ended. There's no way to get around that problem. So Rav says that's it. The marriage is over. Avobahi. But in the case of Hanot, the Efsher Beparnis, where I could deal with the issue in another way. It's not the ultimate solution, but I could deal with it, so we could wait it out for 30 days. So maybe even Rav over there would agree to Shmuel, let's just wait it out and see. And then similarly, v'itmar bahi, and if it only talked about the case of Hanoh in general, bahakka amar Shmuel, that's where Shmuel said, let's wait it out and see. Because I have a parnes to take care of it. But when it comes to Tashmish, we're over there, I have no way to solve the problem. Maybe even Shmuel agrees that open-ended is a problem immediately, and Shmuel would agree that we have to end the marriage right away. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up from this line, Mirtz Hashem, next time.